Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalage, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
Welcome in San Diego, it's Jade Hindman. On today's show, local students explore their multiracial background in the NPR Student Podcast Challenge. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our community through conversation.
Here in Southern California, we know all too well the devastation wildfires can cause. That's why our mission is to stop the next one before it starts. I'm Brian D'Agostino, leader of SDG&E's Wildfire and Climate Science team, and we've built one of the most advanced wildfire prevention programs in the country with a team of world-class meteorologists using artificial intelligence and real-time weather data, all to help keep our communities safe. We're also building a stronger grid and using public safety power shutoff when necessary, because believe me, I've seen firsthand how unpredictable wildfires can be. But here at SDG&E, we face that uncertainty head on to help keep you safe. Learn more at sdge.com/wildfire safety.
Each year, NPR puts on its Student Podcast Challenge, where thousands of young people across the country transform their ideas into audio. Among the finalists for Best Middle School Podcast were two students from High Tech Middle Media Arts in Point Loma. They produced a podcast called Mixed Voices. It's about growing up in a multiracial family and reconnecting with your multiracial roots. I'm joined now by the students and the teacher who oversaw their project, eighth graders Abby Dutra and Orion Navarrete, and Rebecca Carnahan. The students know her as Miss Bex. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Hi, we're so happy to be here.
So glad to have you all here in studio. Abby and Orion, first, congratulations on being named one of the best student podcasts in America. What was your first reaction to the news?
Miss Bex pulled us before class started, and we were notified together, and we were just so excited and just surprised because we wanted to make an impact with the topic of our podcast, and the fact that it had been recognized was, like, amazing.
I think my reaction was I was really shocked because I honestly forgot about our podcast over, like, the summer and over, like, a few months. So, like, when we heard, like, the news from Ms. Bex, I was, like, honestly, I was, like, shocked. It was like, wait, really? Like, our podcast got to the top 10. Like, I didn't think our podcast would go that far. So I was honestly, like, really shocked and, like, really proud of ourselves.
Yeah. Well, the podcast is inspired by your own heritage and connection to your own cultures. How did the idea first come to be, Abby?
Me and Orion have been friends for a while, and because of my lack of cultural connection, especially in my Filipino heritage, Orion has truly always been that person I go to be like, hey, this, this, and this, what do you think of this? And it's always Filipino related. And although me and Orion have so many other things in common, we were talking about topics and I go, hey, what if we do something about being Filipino? And they go, hey, what if we do something about culture as a whole? And I go, wait, that's a great idea. And so we started brainstorming, and eventually we came to the conclusion of not feeling connected to certain cultural backgrounds you have.
Orion, what about you?
I think that, yeah, Abby brought up, like, hey, what if we do something about Filipino? And I was, like, thinking, like, about what is something fully that could, like, connect, like, others instead of just, like, Filipino community? What if we connect our whole community? So I was like thinking like, yeah, let's do something about like being mixed, about like having like several having several cultural backgrounds. And then eventually got brought up that like one of like some of our cultures, like we have like no, like we, you don't have as much knowledge to some. So it kind of like brought up like the idea of like trying to keep your cultural ties as a mixed person and how it is like being mixed and having all these different cultures connect you and form who you are as a being.
Mm-hmm. And that's where the name of the podcast came from.
That's where I thought of it. I was the one that thought of the name.
Oregon came up with it, and I thought it was so wonderful. And because we picked the name more toward the end of the process, and we were like, what are we going to name this? And we're brainstorming, and we have this document, this Google Doc, of all of like the names we have. And we're just spouting out like random names at this point. Orion just goes, mixed voices, and then keeps talking. And I go, wait, like, that's really cool. And so that's how we decided.
Yeah, I was like thinking like, okay, we're mixed and also doing a podcast. So we're like talking. So I'm like, what if we just combine like culture and how we're talking and like our voice? So it was like, we're using our voice to like talk about this. So it was like mixed voices. And then we're just like, it shows context to like what our podcast is about. So I thought it was like a really cool idea.
I mean, the perfect fit, surely. Well, we've got a little snippet from Mixed Voices. Let's take a listen.
When I was little, I told the adults in my life about wanting to know more about my background. The holidays, the food, the dance, the music, and they had no information to give me. Growing up, and even now, I faked all the knowledge I had in my culture. I acted like I knew everything, when in reality, I know nothing. If I ever wanted or want to know anything about my background, I have to educate myself. But what if I just didn't care?
When I was little, I was never told about my Filipino roots until I finally went to the homeland of my family. I was never taught my family's tongue. I tried to speak Bisaya, but it was so foreign to me. I needed to teach myself. When the opportunity arose, I went back to the Philippines and finally understood my family. Nicaragua was almost totally abandoned by my family. Still today, I feel disconnected with my Nicaraguan side. And since my family left the dictatorship, I am still not able to go where my family came from.
How did it feel to reconnect with your different cultures and embrace your heritage? It is for sure a journey. So, Orion, I'll start with you on that one.
Well, it kind of like thinking like about the podcast, I kind of felt like we just like had to like really go back to like how this all started, like where our family roots are from, where like we're from. So it was just like thinking about like these things. Like I like actually like asked my grandma like about like, hey, like how is it in Nicaragua? Like what is like fast about our culture? Like I know we always eat Nicaraguan food, like we speak Spanish at home, but I'm like what is like some aspects like uniquely to Nicaraguan culture? So I think I like also like I educated myself more about like my culture with this podcast.
And Abby, how about you?
Because me and Orion are both Filipino, we, at the beginning of this process, we did a lot of research on all of our backgrounds, not only from websites and books and history, but from our families, if that makes sense. And we did spend a lot of time on Filipino culture and heritage and just educating ourselves about that. But then me and Orion branched off into our other sides and started researching about that. And it felt so connecting, because to have that disconnection and to experience it in small ways in your everyday life feels degrading in a way. It really, really hurts. But to be able to reconnect and to find that missing piece feels just really good.
Well, Rebecca, what was it like guiding the students through this process of putting the podcast together?
I really feel like my job as the teacher is more of a facilitator, and this project completely came from them. We're very lucky to be at High Tech Middle Media Arts within the High Tech High system, a school that, you know, the major tenets are focused on project-based learning and student voice and choice and multiple revisions and drafts. And so I think that all of that really leads itself to a project like this. So really, it was just my job to help set up some structures and help keep things moving along and let them know that they are telling an important story that other people are going to benefit from hearing, and just be their cheerleader and let them do their thing. And another great thing about project-based learning is we really have the time to spend on projects like this. So they were making their podcast over a time period of almost maybe 3.5 to 4 months. And so it was really just giving them the time to and space to figure out what story they want to tell and how they want to tell it and keep working on getting it out there.
You teach humanities, and one thing you really focus on and focused on for this project was building skills in digital literacy and research. How did that come up in the making of this podcast?
Yeah, so at our school, it's not necessarily such a focus on specific content. And again, that's where the students' interests can really come into play, but in building those skills. So everyone who was doing a podcast had to focus on choosing either historical research behind their topic or scientific research behind their topic. So they really had to go in and look at what sources might be beneficial to building their knowledge, their background knowledge about their topic, so they could talk about it and educate listeners about it. They also had to interview an expert, which an expert could mean a lot of things depending on the topic. So, and they could probably tell you a little bit more about who they interviewed, but it was other mixed students at school to kind of hear their perspective and see how it lined up with their perspectives. They also got to use Adobe Podcast software, and they learned how to record. They learned how to edit. In preparation for all of that, they did some nonfiction writing, some informational writing to mm-hmm. write their scripts and continuously just revise it. And towards the end of it, they really had to work on figuring out what is the most important aspect of their story to tell, because and the contest really lends itself to helping students decide what is important because of the 8-minute time limit. So I think they had much more content than 8 minutes, as did a lot of their classmates. But to really have to, like, they had to work really hard to narrow it down just to 8 minutes, which included their intro, any music, any interviews, their main claims, and all of the evidence that they were going to be using. So they had to make some tough choices. And I think, you know, all of those things together are really important skills.
Absolutely, they are. I can attest. I mean, tell me, what was it like to interview friends with similar backgrounds? I mean, did your experiences match up, and how were they different?
When I interviewed my friend Ash, we had a lot of like similar stories with like Filipino culture. Like we felt like more connected. But then she shared about like her German culture, which she didn't really feel as much connected. So, like, we started, like, talking about, like, why, like, both of us don't, like, feel connected to, like, one culture. We feel more connected to, like, Filipino culture. So, like, both of our moms are Filipino, and both of our dads are, like, different from, like, different cultural backgrounds. So talking with her about it, it was really, like, it kind of, like, opened, like, my mind, like, thinking, like, why we're so, like, disconnected from, like, one culture. it kind of like brought up like new ideas, and it also helped me in the podcast, like thinking, what should I say about it? Like what evidence? What other claims should I add? Mm-hmm. So yeah,
lots to think about. Like, it's a common experience for a lot of people with mixed backgrounds to just identify with one culture over the other. How did you talk about that?
I think the reason both Orion and I feel more connected to our Filipino culture is because Filipino pride, especially in San Diego, is so big. And when I say Filipino pride, I just mean Filipinos, they are proud, proud people. And when you are around those people, there is just so much. What's another word for like boldness?
It's a strong community.
Like pride. It's pride. It's a strong community.
It's a strong community and a large community too.
Oh yeah.
Something that like didn't get put in our podcast that we're also thinking about, like why we like represent with like one side over the other. It was like people might like look closer related to like one culture than the other. Like I know that I look way more Filipino. I get like always like people think that I'm like full Filipino, and like I tell them like, oh, I'm mixed. Like they don't really like see that about me. Like, oh, you're mixed? Wait, really? Like people don't believe me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like what Abby was saying, that there's like a whole big Filipino culture in San Diego. And like I think that also helped, like especially like places like Mira Mesa or like National City. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like Filipino there's like a lot of Filipino community, and like there's a whole bunch of representation in those communities. So I do feel like more like tied in with Filipino culture for that reason. Like I've been to like the Philippines several times. I speak the language, but like also I speak Spanish, but I've never been to like Nicaragua or any of those areas. So there's a lot of like there's also a lot of like Mexican communities, because we're like San Diego, literally Mexico is across the border.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like there's a lot of Spanish speaking people in San Diego, and there's also a lot of like Tagalog and mm-hmm. other Filipino like dialect speaking in San Diego. So I think there's like a lot of representation here for those communities. But like it's also like, since you're part of different communities, I think you tend to like stick more to one community mm-hmm. instead of like fully like I'm part of this community and I'm part of that community. You start like drifting away from one community.
What do you hope people take away from Mixed Voices? And has this process really inspired you to dig deeper into this topic or tell other stories?
Me and Orion's number one goal for this podcast was for people to be able to relate, because this is a topic that we don't think is heard about enough. And even if it is, we don't know about it. And so we wanted to take initiative and try to put out something that people can relate to, because it always feels good to know you are not alone. And this could inspire more mixed people like us to be like, oh, maybe I don't know more about this side of my culture. Maybe I want to learn it and experience it, because me and Orion truly believe that culture is one of the greatest things humans have, and it is slowly dying. It is slowly being lost because of certain situations and because of lack of information. And we truly believe that if we are able to speak about it enough, they will revive their culture, and culture won't die.
I think I want people I agree with Abby, what she said, but I want people to like take away that culture is like such a big part of you. Like I think like I've noticed like over generations, like culture like slowly starts like fading a little bit if it's not like taught enough. It's not like, if it's like not brought up with every generation to come. So like I think like when me and Abby were like thinking like what's like the main thing that we want people to take away, it was just like we want people to take away that there's other people like them, other people that are mixed that feel unrepresented. And I think that we also wanted to have people take away that we could like bring up like culture. We could like talk about how your culture really identifies as you, like really that like it, what it shapes you. So,
mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like an excellent podcast, and I can't wait for so many people to check it out. I've been speaking with 8th graders Abby Dutra and Orion Navarrete, as well as 7th grade humanities teacher Rebecca Carnahan. We'll link the full podcast on our website. Abby, Orion, Rebecca, thanks so much for your time and congratulations.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. If you missed anything, you can download KPBS Midday Edition on all podcast apps. Don't forget to watch Evening Edition tonight at 5 for in-depth reporting on San Diego issues. Also, you can always share your feedback or segment ideas at midday@kpbs.org, or you can give us a call. The number is 619-452-0228. I'm Jade Hindman. Join us tomorrow to hear about the Italian Film Festival during Midday Edition's Arts and Culture Show. Until then, have a great day on purpose, everyone.
I'm Kinley Walsh Lawler, President and CEO of Parks California. Across California, parks are places where nature and community come together. Through Arts in California Parks, artists and culture bearers are creating murals, performances, and cultural programs with local organizations that reflect community stories and deepen our connections to these landscapes. From music in neighborhood parks to murals that celebrate heritage, these projects remind us that parks are more than just open space. They're living galleries of creativity and belonging. Learn more at parkscalifornia.org/arts.